Let us pray. Before we go into our prayer this morning, let's just take a few moments just to soak in the reality of how it is well with our souls because we know that Jesus is here with us. Whatever we go through in life, whatever we're struggling with right now, wherever we've been this past week, let us just take a few moments just to let that all go into the presence of Jesus and just experience his refreshing touch this morning. So let's just take a few moments in silent prayer together. Lord, we thank you for your reminder in the Psalms that says, be still and know that I am God. Though the earth tremble and shake and fall into the sea, oh Lord, you are our awesome God who is with us through it all. Through all the ups and the downs of life, through all the seasons of doubt, through the seasons of fear, through the seasons of joy, through the seasons of just drawing near to you and knowing that you are with us, Lord, we know that in every season of our life, you are our good shepherd, the one who shepherds our souls and helps us to know that it is well because your presence goes with us. Oh Lord, we come before you this morning. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the risen Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for just the reminder this past few weeks with the Easter season that you know our faith and our hope and our confidence is in you. Because you are risen, because you are risen in our hearts, in our lives, because you live in us, we have that living hope, that strength every day to face the challenges that we must endure in this life. And so, Lord, we thank you that through it all, you are, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you today, Lord. In this moment, in this worship service, our eyes are on you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that draws us into all truth, the Spirit that speaks to our hearts and keeps us on our conscience and keeps our moral compass pointed in the right direction every single moment of every day. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and continue to move among us right now as we move into this time of studying your word, Lord God. May your Holy Spirit, just open our hearts, open our minds so that we might be receptive to all that you have for us from your word today. So speak into us, living word, the words of life. Lord, we do pray that prayer together today that you have taught us to pray. Not because it's the only prayer, but Lord, because it's an expression of our hearts to you today. So let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are coming back into our series this morning, Joy on the Journey. It's been a good series so far out of Philippians. We've so far traveled into almost the end of chapter 2, but today we'll be getting to that place. And this is the second message on joyful service or joyful servanthood. And first of all, I got to check in with you again, okay? A few weeks ago, I asked you to start working on your twinkle factor. Remember that? Twinkle factor? How many have been working on your twinkle factor? Yeah, I see a few hands back there, yeah. So how was it this week? Are you turning up the intensity of your luminosity? I hope so. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been moving into this section where Paul talks about shining like stars in the universe. And if each one of us is one of those little stars that's out there in the community, you know, that we should be twinkling every day, every moment of every day. You know, we talked about what Paul said in Philippians chapter 12, verses 12 to 18, where he talked about adopting that new standard for living. And that's where this twinkle factor comes in, where we renounce the mediocrity and what is just living that normal kind of, you know, existence, but embracing a whole new empowered way of being in Christ. God's embracing God's sovereign purposes for our life and therefore being able to turn up the intensity of our luminosity. We've been talking about adopting this new standard and how sometimes it can feel like it's difficult because it's kind of going against the flow of everything that comes against us, but it's not impossible. We saw that in Philippians 2, 19 to 30, where Paul spotlights two individuals that he knew who were living this way, you know, just as a shining example to others. And we started talking about one of those a couple weeks ago, and his name is Timothy. We all know who Timothy is, one of Paul's companions. And the other was Epaphroditus, and we're going to look at him a little bit more today. But what we've been talking about is, you know, how Paul created a company of friends around him. You know, and we recognize that company of friends is the body of Christ. It's the church that was around him. You know, we need to create this kind of community to live in. You know, it's important for us because we can't do everything on our own. We need help from others. Wouldn't you agree? We can't just do life alone. We were never meant to be that way. And that's why we've been given friends. We've been given brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who become friends, because friends are important people in our lives. You know, a friend is someone who loves and cares, who stands by us through thick and thin, who shares our joys and comforts us in our sorrows, who shares our concerns for what really matters in life. Do you have friends like that? Think about those friends. I know I have two buddies that I have conversations with every Monday to Friday, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, two different calls, but I have those two men have become my closest friends in life, and they are my accountability partners every single day, Monday to Friday. We give each other the weekends off to kind of, you know, do life, but, you know, every morning we share that bond of friendship, and I've been doing that with them for almost 7 years now. It's radically transformed my life just to be that kind of friend for someone else and then have that kind of friendship with myself, for myself. You know, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have that kind of friendship with someone? Have that kind of friendship with someone in the body of Christ. It's so important to be a part of a company of friends. For a friend is someone who helps to carry the load in life. And when we find a company of friends like this, this is when where our joy quotient, you know, that the joy meter in our life starts to go up like this. It just moves up when we have those friends around us who pick us up and encourage us, even in the most difficult of times. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had found such a company of friends. And two of these, as we mentioned earlier, Timothy and Titus, or Epaphroditus, were two shining examples of true friendship. You know, just going to review this very quickly about Timothy. Because Timothy, as we learned the last time, was a beloved son. He was just like a son to Paul. There was no one like him. He was unequaled in his zeal, in his servant heart, his commitment to Christ, his partnership with Paul in the work of the gospel. And Paul had a fatherly pride concerning his friend Timothy, because he was really a father to him in the faith. He was that, like, that there was that closeness, that mentoring type relationship, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Timothy had grown in his faith because of Paul's coming alongside of him. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing of how some, after listening to the message, a few weeks ago, some people have come up to me and said, you know, there are people now who are asking me to be a mentor. And I'm really feeling led to come alongside of so-and-so. So, you know, this is what it's all about within the body of Christ, within the family of God, within this company of friends that we're part of, is the those who are strong coming alongside those who are weak, or those who are older in the faith coming alongside those who are younger in the faith. See, this is the multi-generational effect of the church. And it's so important to be building this kind of community. And Timothy, well, he was the byproduct of that. He was a man of faith, a man of God, and a trusted companion to Paul. Well, that was just one of Paul's friends. Now the second friend that he wanted to emphasize for us today, or we want to emphasize today, because there's something we can learn from this man Epaphroditus as well. We learned a lot from Timothy about faithful servanthood, faithful service. But Epaphroditus, well, if there was ever anyone who was the friend of friends in Paul's life, it was Epaphroditus. And everything we know about him is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30. It's amazing how in these six verses, we learn so much about this man, Epaphroditus. This is what we read about him. Paul says, "But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Listen to how Paul describes him, okay? My brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Wow. What a description. What a description of this man, Epaphroditus. You know, if ever there was a man who worthy of an honor, it would be this man, Epaphroditus. He was a messenger sent with a gift by the church in Philippi. He was sent to take care of Paul's needs while he was in Rome, and he experienced a time of serious illness. And Paul says that he almost died for the work of Christ. While he was in Rome, he became a vital member of Paul's ministry team. And therefore, when it was appropriate, when he had to send this letter back to the Philippians, he thought, who better than Epaphroditus to send this message back to his home church? I'll send him back as my apostle. And so, you know, we have this Epaphroditus. He is fitting of receiving an award for friendship. You know, if ever there was an award for friendship, it would go to Epaphroditus in this case. You know, I'm thinking now, you know, we're coming into that time in the hockey season when all the players who have done exceedingly and abundantly well are starting to be given their awards. You know, Connor McDavid just got the Rocket Richard Award for getting the most points or most goals in a season, and others will get other rewards, other awards. But you know what? It's awards recognize who has been extraordinary, right? We remember that? Not just ordinary, but extraordinary. You know, turning up the intensity of their luminosity. There's an award for that. Well, and Epaphroditus, he gets the award for friendship. Friendship, as far as Paul is concerned. And why is that? Well, Epaphroditus, Paul says, was like a brother to me. He was like a brother. He is my brother. The word brother in the Greek is adelphos. And Paul uses this word over and over and over again when he refers to fellow believers. He uses it 9 times in this letter to the Philippians. Here Paul uses the term to express a bond of deep affection for Epaphroditus, just like that of a brother. How many of you have a brother or a sister, a sibling? I'm sorry if you're an only, but you know. But there's a bond, isn't there? Even when you get in each other's face, or you know, you get at odds with each other, there's that bond of family love that because you're connected. Yeah, I see that. I saw that. Now you mean me. I saw that. There's that bond of affection and there's that extra sense of connection between brothers, sisters. But Paul says there was this deep affection, brotherly love between him and Epaphroditus. It was a bond of affection and high regard born out of the shared experiences of life together. You know, isn't that where it comes together? I mean, doing those crazy things together as brothers or as sisters, or having those conversations that only brothers and sisters have together. You know, that closeness of life shared together. You know, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. You know, when we go through those difficult times, isn't it great to have someone who is like a brother or your brother or sister to be there with you through those times of adversity, through hardships that Paul experienced in prison? Epaphroditus was his lifeline. Through Epaphroditus' illness, Paul was his lifeline, making sure that the rest of the Christian community were caring for Epaphroditus when he couldn't do that in prison. There was this mutual caring for each other. Willingness to do things only a true brother or sister would do. You know, I do anything for my sister Andrea, my brother Ted, or John, my brother John, even though we're not as close. But my heart is right there for my family. We're willing to do things for our brothers and sisters that only a true brother or sister can. But you know, when we think of this, we think of our own families, right? But what about this family right here? You know, because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are family, right? Are we willing to do the things only a true brother or sister would do for each other? Something to think about. Especially if we, as Jesus said, if you have aught with your brother or sister. Aught. You know what that aught is? If you're not getting along. He said, leave your gift at the altar, go and make right with your brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're family. We're the only true heavenly family, forever family that we're going to have here on earth, next to our brothers and sisters by birth. How willingly do we do things for one another? And oh, Epaphroditus, oh, he was like a brother, Paul says. Epaphroditus was devoted to Paul out of a sincere commitment to brotherly love. Coming from their mutual bond in Jesus Christ, they were family. Family. We're family. You know, this bond of brotherhood, sisterhood, is one of the most important, most needed ingredients in our church fellowship today. I'm sure you would agree. We need to have that sense of connection with one another. And you know, the elders of this church, I've just been so blessed. We've been so blessed as in this congregation to have elders. Deb over the years, Austin over the last number of years, and now Heather and Marie, who are so concerned about keeping this body connected. You know, Austin and Deb, throughout the COVID pandemic, calling people, encouraging people, coming alongside, encouraging that to happen within the body of Christ. And now Marie and Heather, you know, are so committed, you know, that we've been having conversations in our elders meetings, and this is not breaking any confidences, okay? But we've had conversations about how can we turn up the connectedness within this body of Christ. Because it's so important that we have that sense of family, being one with each other in unity and peace, harmony and love. Because we are family, the forever family of God. You know, in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9, we read this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, they are nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You know what Peter's encouraging us here to do is to turn up the intensity of our luminosity with regard to brotherly kindness, turning that into love for one another, sincere love for one another within the body of Christ and out into the world. Because it makes a huge difference. He says it will increase your ability to be effective and productive. You'll become extraordinary in your twinkle factor. That's just the first reason why Paul says Epaphroditus deserves an award. An award for friendship, because he was like a brother to me. The second thing that he says about Epaphroditus is that he was a fellow worker with him. And this word, synergos in the Greek, means a companion in work, a co-laborer, someone who comes alongside to help carry the load. You know, a co-worker, a fellow worker. Do you know someone like that? Friend of yours who comes alongside and helps. My neighbor here in Peterborough, I'm not going to mention his name, but he is somebody. I mean, he's not a member of the body of Christ. Well, he might be. We've had conversations, and I'm not sure where he stands right now, but he is someone who comes alongside you and helps you anytime. Always willing to help out. Always willing to do whatever a neighbor could do. You know, Epaphroditus, he provided logistical support for Paul. He was part of Paul's practical support team in Rome. He was Paul's hands and feet on the ground. You know, he wasn't concerned about getting his hands dirty, doing some of those things that needed to be done. And you know, I just thought of a bunch of people who are like that in this fellowship. I'm not going to mention your names right now. You know who you are. You're not willing. You're willing to get your hands dirty. You're willing to do whatever is necessary to either look after this building or look after the work that needs to be done, fix things or do some of those jobs that need to be done. Being hands and feet together, fellow workers. And Epaphroditus, well, he was willing to put his life on the line in order to serve. He was willing to give it all. Even when he got sick, he was willing to risk his life so that he could be a help to Paul. The help that couldn't be provided by the people in his home church who had sent him there to be their expression of servanthood to Paul. He was a fellow worker with Paul. And you know, Paul valued people like Epaphroditus. And we value people who are willing to put their hands to the work for the cause of Christ. And we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you for your faithful service to Christ. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, the Apostle Paul had, you know, this company of friends that we were talking about. And he always was willing to acknowledge people for their faithful service. And Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16 is an example of this, where he says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Crenchaea. She has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Mary, who worked very hard for you. Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And my dear friend Stachius. Now you try to say all these names. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." You know, don't miss all these things that Paul is saying about all these people. You know, sometimes we read these kind of lists and we kind of go, "Oh, well, what's there?" But when you read them, you just see, this woman, Rufus's mother, he says, she's been like a mother to me, to Paul in his imprisonment. And then he says, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers with them, Philogius, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, for all the churches of Christ send their greetings. You know, when I read this list, I think, wow, look at all the affirmation that Paul was pouring out in his letter here as he was writing. How often do we pour out affirmation on our brothers and sisters in Christ? When we recognize someone's doing a great service, do we acknowledge them? Do we acknowledge them? Tell them how much we appreciate, how much we love them, that they're a fellow worker along with us. Oh, it's so good to be able to work alongside of you. Oh, I just love the way you help out. The way you come alongside of me in my times of difficulty. You know, Epaphroditus, He was part of a growing network of people who were devoted to using their time, talents, and treasures to serve the Lord. You know, when I think of this group that Paul was talking about, I can't help but think of this group that's before me right now. And not only this group, but each network of people that are represented by each one of you. I encourage you this morning to think of the network of people that are around you. Those people who are fellow workers with you in your spheres of influence, in your family. I want you to take a moment this morning, you know, it may not be right now, but take a moment after this service today to make a list of the people you value for their practical support for you, for your family in times of crisis. You know, my sister Andrea and I did this a couple weeks ago because with my, you know, all of you know my dad is in the hospital right now and my mom is going into surgery this week on her back. You know, we had a few weeks ago to take a look at who are the support people around us. Well, there's our brothers and there's my uncle and then who else is there? And as we started looking at all the people who were able to support my mom and dad through this time, we were able to put together a list of about 15 fellow workers that were supporting my mom and dad, doing vital things for them. And we've now started to acknowledge them and encourage them and thank them as a family. And because we're going to depend on them over these next few weeks and months that are ahead for my mom and dad. Who is that group of people in your life that are around you or your fellow workers? Start acknowledging them. Start acknowledging them. Make a list. Start acknowledging them for who they are to you. You know, another reason why Paul had this award ready for Epaphroditus was that he was a fellow soldier. He recognized him as a fellow soldier. And as a fellow soldier, this word stratiotes in the Greek means an associate in labors and conflicts for the cause of Christ. What does he mean here? A fellow soldier? They weren't fighting against Rome together. Who were they fighting against? Well, they were fighting against principalities and powers in this dark world. And where does that show up as a soldier? It shows up in prayer, right? In prayer. James Montgomery Boyce says this, it was not only that Epaphroditus worked with Paul, he fought side by side with him also. When Paul uses this word, he recognizes that the work they were doing was more like a battle than the normal labor of a citizen in peacetime. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against the wickedness in high places. This was the battle. And the warfare requires the shoulder-to-shoulder, aggressive forward motion of all Christians. And where does that show up? It shows up in our prayer, our commitment to battle with each other side by side in prayer. Epaphroditus was a part of a small company of prayer warriors surrounding and supporting Paul. And we see this in Colossians 4, 7 to 13. When we meet up with another one of these prayer warriors who is named, it's similar to Epaphroditus, don't get confused with him, but it's Epaphras. Epaphras was another one of Paul's companions. In Colossians 4, 12 to 13, he says this about Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you Corinthians, one of the Corinthians who had been sent to help him, is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus. He sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. This was another one of those, the companions that, friends that Paul had in ministry, fellow soldier along with Epaphroditus, in prayer ministry, like Aaron and Hur with Moses. These men were battling alongside of Paul in prayer for the forward movement of the gospel. They were holding up his arms, Paul's arms, in prayer. And God was doing amazing things in and through their ministry, individually and corporately, as fellow soldiers. And finally, Paul acknowledges Epaphroditus as a faithful messenger, a faithful messenger. The Greek word here is apostolos, an apostle, a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. That's what that word apostle means. And it's the same word that Paul uses to assert his apostolic authority when he claims that he was an apostle among the apostles. He was a messenger, one sent with orders. And it's the same word that's used to describe the 12 and other notable teachers in the New Testament who were recognized as apostles. Same word. Paul refers to Epaphroditus as your apostle to me, meaning that, you know, the Philippian church had sent him as an apostle, a sent out one to Paul. Which, you know, it's really interesting how Paul uses that word there, emphasizing again that the relationship that he had with his co-workers was one based in equality, not hierarchy. So important for us to get that. You know, Epaphroditus is equally an apostle with Paul in that both were commissioned and sent out with full authority to perform a specific task of service. That's what Gerald Hawthorne says in his commentary. It's important for us to recognize that we are all part of the body of Christ. No one is greater, no one is lesser. We're all part of the body with different gifts, different abilities, different callings, but all work together for the good of the kingdom. And Paul says of Epaphroditus, he says, you know, he was your messenger to me, now I'm sending him as my messenger to you. I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, for he longs for all of you and is in distress because you heard that he was ill, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Honor him as a faithful servant of the Lord. Epaphroditus had fulfilled his apostolic mission with distinction. He had served above and beyond what was required. He gave of himself. He gave his all. He held nothing back. And now Paul could say of him, I'm sending him back to you. He is one of you and longs to be with you. He deserves to be honored by you as a faithful servant of the Lord. His life, is a shining example to you of joyful service and faithful friendship. This is Epaphroditus, a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a faithful messenger. You know, as I think about this award that is going out to Epaphroditus, well, I can think of many in this congregation, many who I've worked with in the past, who also deserve this kind of award. What about you? What about you? What about you right now? I think you deserve this kind of award. I really do. I really encourage you to be a brother or sister, a faithful fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a faithful messenger for the gospel. I think each one of you deserves this kind of award. You know, and it's a challenge to us today, you know, because, you know, Paul encourages us to shine like stars. To shine like stars in the universe. And when we do, you know, we may not have anybody actually give us this kind of award. But you know, the one that really matters, when we turn up the intensity of our luminosity, you know who it really matters to? It matters to Jesus. It matters to Jesus. And you know, we may not receive this kind of award here on earth, but if we practice being faithful brothers and sisters, fellow workers, fellow soldiers, faithful messengers, if we bring that and take that on as a practice in our life, then one day, when we cross from this life into the next, what will Jesus' words be to us? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Now, that's the only real award I want to receive from a life of faithful service. And I hope that's your goal today, too. You know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 19, he says this: "It is for this very reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." May this be the prayer of your and my heart today as we seek to be faithful servants of God. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for speaking in and through me today. I pray, Lord, that you would just use the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to touch, move, and inspire people today, Lord. Not because they're my words, but because they're your Lord, words speaking, Lord, to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to be faithful brothers and sisters, fellow workers, faithful soldiers, and faithful witnesses for you. Lord, it's so important that we shine bright in the world around us, because this is the only way that people will be able to see and hear and understand that you are alive, that you are our risen Savior, that you are in the world, and that you are the one who motivates us to love and good deeds. Oh Lord, so today, just fill into our hearts. Fill into our hearts, Lord, the desire to turn up the intensity of our luminosity in you, so that others might see your great love at work in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.